Did you ever hear a performance you didn't enjoy until you understood? Bless her heart, but she just couldn't sing. And remarkably, the people under the tent, who'd paid a lot to be there, were enthralled, staying right in their seats. It was my first visit to the National Storytellers Convention at Jonesboro, Tennessee, and not about to pay a full day's admission for a 2-hour stay, I was propped against a telephone pole outside the only tent with its flaps up, shivering in the October wind. But this was not prime real estate. The tent was pitched beside a railroad spur where freight shuttles blared and squeaked and rumbled by, usually in mid-story. She was on stage beside a tall, slender fellow with a banjo, but only by coincidence did her notes fall anywhere near his chords. He managed a showman smile, but his accompaniment had receded to short, half-hearted bursts. The audience was clapping what beat they could match, but she had absolutely no sense of rhythm, restarting the cadence with every breath. Admittedly, this lady was not the main attraction. She was the elderly wife of the main attraction, a venerated storyteller who'd been too sick to come off the mountain that day. The tall fellow had been filling in, decorating his stories with banjo and harmonica. She was introduced as the wind beneath the old man's wings, the strength behind the scenes, and so forth. Big applause. And she addressed us in native Appalachian, mountain simple language, humble and straightforward. Good heart. Her song could have come right out of an Andy Griffith rerun. Riding on that new river train. Riding on that new river train. Same old train that brought me here, gonna carry me home again. But then she started the arithmetic. Darling, you can't love one. Darling, you can't love one. You can't love one and have any fun. Darling, you can't love one. Oh, no. She's gonna sing all 10 verses. Darling, you can't love two and still be true. The audience quit trying to clap along. You can't love three and still have me. She went flat. She went sharp. She wobbled. At four, she paused to remember the words. I prayed for quick-onset Alzheimer's. She recovered. I didn't. Darling, you can't love five. I squirmed against the telephone pole, peering hopefully down track. No train. Darling, you can't love six. At least it wasn't 99 bottles of beer on the wall. And I knew where the next verse was headed. In the Bible Belt, seven had to rhyme with heaven. It did, but came as no relief. I glanced over at a strong-looking fellow with military patches on his jacket. Before the show, I'd watched him baby diving, bent nearly double at the waist, his head stuck into a carriage, cooing and sputtering. I tried to recount the baby's laughter, but the loudspeaker walked all over it. Predictably, eight rhymed with Pearly Gate, only two more verses to go. I looked up at the overcast, wondering if sour notes drawled through ragweed allergy might poke a hole in one of those big gray suckers and let in some sun. The wind chewed the backs of my ears. I was getting pretty good at guessing the rhymes, so on the next verse I sang softly, "If you'll stop at nine, then I'll feel fine." She didn't, but like a punch-drunk fighter, I knew I could last one more round. 10 rhymed with men or sin or something, then she repeated the chorus. Those who sang with her the first time joined up again. Good sports, maybe, but tougher birds than me. And there was some dissension about the lyrics and phrasing, but everyone stumbled through. More applause. The banjo plinked a little more, and the show was over. I walked back to my truck, chatted a minute with the local who'd charged me $5 to park in his yard, then started home to Maggie Valley. In Johnson City, I stopped for potato soup, which thawed me sufficiently to consider my experience. What was it about that woman that made a tent full of paying customers quietly endure the unendurable, then applaud for it? Age was certainly a factor. We're generally more tolerant of the very old and the very young. Still confused, I ordered cheesecake. That ought to help. And maybe it did. Starting up the mountain south of Irwin, the answer slapped me like a cloudburst crosswind. slopped over me like creamed spinach and burned like cayenne. I'd been moaning to friends recently about the demise of our regional culture, yet I'd just been treated to a 12-verse earful of mountain heritage and hadn't appreciated it one whit. That lady was the genuine article. The one man in her life was too old and sick to come off the mountain, so she'd stood in his place to honor him, to carry on for him, to keep his commitments. She was no performer, but had shared with us a traditional song possibly learned from an older brother who by now lay in a sloping grave under a maple tree in a fence row. The song was an oral hand-me-down, evolved over the years as people thought up better verses or forgot them and made up their own. Was I so spoiled by store-bought that I could no longer appreciate homegrown? To paraphrase Pogo, I had met my frustration, and it was me. I rummaged around in the glove box, pushed a tape into the dashboard, and soon the Osborne Brothers and Mac Wiseman were crooning Mother Maybelle. I felt a little better, reconnected, and I made this vow. Next time I go looking for heritage, I'm going to listen with my heart. That's where the music is.